Okay, this is side two, Honhart interviewing Zalman, Turner in the Criminal Justice Department. The other person you mentioned who was at the CJ department for a very long time is Art Brandstatter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could just share some of your impressions of him, and also if you have any thoughts about like how he and Ralph worked together.
Hmm. Well, he and Ralph went all the way back, I think they, you know, certainly had a lot of respect for one another. Art was something of a controversial figure over the years. I guess I know that in the late '60s, the department went through what a lot of places went through in the U.S. with sort of younger and more radical professors, challenging people at the top, and people like Ray Galvin were at MSU at the time, and they left. And I think I got to MSU after a lot of that turmoil had sort of quieted down. My guess, you ought to confirm this with Strecker. You know, is that people who wanted the department to change into more of what I would call a modern, up-to-date criminal justice program were very frustrated. Art would be a fighter when challenged. I mean, I could see that, but Vic made that clear. I had the sense that within all of that, Ralph was probably a moderating force. Didn't want to get involved in playing politics. I don't think he would ever be vindictive towards anyone, but favored some stability in the program. I have to tell you that I was frustrated with the overall nature and tone of the MSU program. SUNY Albany was the first PhD program of the new kind of criminal justice department that I came out of that I very much appreciated. I came to value what MSU had to offer. Albany was more of an academic approach to things. The master's program at MSU was very serious about providing a cadre of highly trained professional administrators in policing and other areas, and I think they did that very well. And I think I very rapidly came to say, yeah, this is important. I think I participated in it, for example, by recommending that the graduate course not be a criminal procedure course, but an administrative law class. I don't know if they're still doing it at MSU, but I brought it to Wayne with me. So I came to feel as if the MSU model, if I can call it that, had a lot to offer. But I still thought that the overall academic strength of the department as a PhD producing department left much to be desired. I don't want to go into the details of that. But, to some extent, Brandstatter was, that's what he had built, and that certainly wasn't going to change until he left. And I was, it wasn't my personality to try to rock that boat. I was very much concerned just with getting tenure, which was a bit rocky because I took all the time that was allotted to me to finish my PhD, which I finally did. Brandstatter was there. He was a bit more remote. I didn't have that much interaction with him. There were some interesting younger folks on the faculty. I was pretty close to Larry Hoover, very friendly with him. It was more the traditional policing model. You remember Lorinskis, Bob Lorinskis?
No.
He's still in the field. Dave Kalinich. There was
some
interesting, people my age, and we had some interesting interactions. We pretty much did our thing. We were junior faculty. I got along fine with Brandstetter, and but you know, I did look forward to the day when things would change. I mean, it was clear that art would retire at some point. I think it was very sad for the school that art hung on until Strecker was frustrated. He clearly was on a track to be a director, and I think would have moved the school along a lot faster. And I don't know if I would have stayed. I mean, I left MSU for a variety of reasons. But I'd say that within all of that, Ralph was older. He was a moderating force. You know, there were people like he and Lou Radlett, you know, are dedicated teachers, good scholars. You know, offered a sense of stability and relatively calm department. And I thought, you know, in retrospect, having been through, you know, my own stint as chair and ups and downs, that there was a lot of value to that. But it's also the case that as a criminalist, Ralph was sort of a little bit on the outside in terms of issues of curriculum and the like. You know, there's something I had forgotten. It's coming back to me now. The first year I was at MSU, maybe the second year, we had a retreat at Gull Lake. And I don't know if we did that for 2 years in a row or just one year. But it was a serious attempt to rethink and think through the whole curriculum. And I think there were changes that were made that made the curriculum less a police administration and more a true criminal justice curriculum, with a more even balance among corrections and juvenile justice, some changes made to law. I always thought that the undergraduate program should be more of a general social science, general liberal arts education, leaving the master's program to be the more professional. And I think at those meetings, one was at Gull Lake, and I think another one was at Oakland University at the, they have a Chrysler, I think the Chrysler.
It's a Dodge.
Something or other Hall. I'm forgetting the name of it now.
Yeah,
we did one year one there, and so the department was going through, the school was going through some serious rethinking of its mission at a time that CJ was changing. I thought Ralph's role in that was, you know, to provide thoughtful input and not to sort of obstruct. You know, the changes that were made, even though, to get back to the point that I had made earlier, the value of talking at some length as you start to remember stuff, even though it would tend to undermine the stature of where criminalistics was. That's why I think that criminalistics was being sort of pushed into the background. It hung on. I think there was a time when it, you know, it might have been dropped entirely, and that clearly would have been very important to Ralph. But I think the person right now who probably would have the best sense of what was going on—if you don't have it from him already—it might be worth going back to—would be Strecker.
Yeah, I'm going to do another interview with him.
Well, you might want to ask him about that.
Because
he had a good. I mean. Vic was a man both of a commanding presence and a very deep intellect, you know, with a good appreciation of the practicalities of police work and the sort of professional school approach. Very interesting and a complex man. And I think he may have had something to do with ensuring that criminalistics would be preserved. But Ralph never, you know, sort of beat his chest and made a big stink about that. So I didn't think about it much at the time, but it was certainly a challenge to everything that, you know, he had worked for over the years and stood for and worked towards developing. And I have to agree that maintaining the program at MSU was a very positive and fine thing.
You mentioned one other mutual colleague maybe you could talk a little bit about, and that's Lou Radlett.
Lou is a wonderful guy. Ralph was more of an Olympian observer of the world and all of its foibles. Lou was a true believer. He was worked for the NCCJ, used to be the National Council of Christians and Jews. Now it's the National Council of something that sort of is all inclusive. And so very, very liberal, a real believer in police community outreach. He had police community relations was his strong suit. Very dedicated teacher, very warm man. I think Lou interacted less with the faculty because he had 8 wonderful children. He was always going to their basketball games and the like, but as nice a person. He was always at in his office, and worked at the university. I remember he would have seminars at his home, evening seminars with grad students at his home, and I remember attending a few of those. They were very nice. My sense was that his relations with Ralph were very cordial. I did not have the sense that they were close friends. I could be wrong about that. I mean, I was a youngster, and I didn't know. I didn't keep people's social calendars. And I think the Turners had a very wide circle of friends at MSU, but Arnella, of course, had people that she knew through ATL. Ralph was involved with the Baker Street Irregulars. There were others at MSU who were involved in that. I was never in that at all. But I think the Radlettes were more like home folks and just didn't have dinner parties and things like that. I'm not sure where I think they just worked in different areas. I don't know if there was much in the way of intellectual exchanges. And in fact, I'm for all those years that we had these really entertaining, wonderful lunches where there would be all kinds of chatter and talk, it usually was not about shop. There'd be a certain amount of talk about what we were doing, but it was sort of this and that, world affairs.
Sure was.
So maybe part of my feeling about a certain kind of a spark missing at MSU was that there weren't enough intellectual or academic connections where people were working together on things. So a lot of the junior faculty came and left. I mentioned some who did.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
I think I think Larry must have left before I did, because Vic went to Sam Houston around 75, 76. And then I think he brought Hoover in within a year. So there was a certain amount of turnover. Falcons came in. I thought that MSU could have done a lot better in terms of who they were bringing in and the general approach and. Ralph would have been in his 60s at that point. His lab was cut back. This is going back to Gull Lake. Him talking about, I mentioned this earlier in the interview, getting a little older, and a lab requires a lot of physical work. It's not as if he had a large staff of assistants. And the lab itself needed updating. I think he recognized and was not at all resentful of the fact that you needed somebody like Jay Siegel, a younger person, to come in to relocate the lab. I mean, being on the top floor of Baker Hall probably was not the place for it. It needed needed a better setup for things that labs need. And it did eventually move into one of the natural science buildings just as I was leaving.
Yeah, it's in chemistry.
Yeah.
Down the basement.
Right. Right. And I mean, just Ralph just provided this wonderful model. Everybody loved him. I'm sure you've spoken to Tim Bynum at some length.
Not yet, but
Tim came on after I was here for a couple of years. Someone else you could talk to would be Jack Green. Jack is the director of the Criminal Justice School or College at Northeastern University. Jack had an office on one side of me. Tim had an office on the other side. Jack was more of a young Turk, and I think he was very frustrated and left. But with all of the frustrations, the general intellectual tone of what was happening at the department in those eras, in that era, Ralph was always popular with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was not just being a nice guy. I mean, he had obvious depth and sort of, knew a lot. And I think that was well respected by Jack, by Tim. I think Tim had a lot of affection for him. But again, we all came in the 70s, and that really was sort of the tail end of his academic career. Although he still had these other interests. You've spoken to Hudzik, I'm sure.
Yes, we have an interview.
Because Ralph had, in terms of all of the his protean nature, he had developed the England program.
Yes, he did.
And then, that's in terms of accomplishments. He had these very interesting connections with people in the British police. I met John Stead at his house. In fact, if you haven't spoken to people in England...
Not yet.
Well, I don't know if Stead is still alive. I'll tell you who you ought to talk to. Definitely call Richard Terrell, T-E-R-R-I-L-L.
I believe he was on campus and he used to come to the table, didn't he?
No, Richard was not a faculty member here. He was a grad student. He got his
I know, sure.
Yeah, he got his PhD.
I know, because he worked with us.
Yeah, well, he got his PhD in history.
Yes.
Under that... classical, the woman who did early modern England. She was apparently a legend in her time. I never met her. In any event.
Probably Marjorie Gessner.
Yeah, I think so. Right. Gessner. Terrell, at a time when jobs were collapsing in history, wanted to stay in academics and retooled himself as a CJ person. Well, he came over to the school and he and I were very close in age. I was just a couple of years older than he was, and we really clicked. I mean, intellectually, it was just like that. He went off to St. Cloud. When I went to MSU, I hired Rick, and he was with us for 4 or 5 years. He's now at Georgia State. And I think he will appreciate, because his specialization is international criminal justice, and he's in England a lot. He'll know some of the people who Ralph knew. If John, I don't know if Stead is still alive, but you want to talk to him. You also want to talk to, he may have just retired, call the Criminal Justice Department at Macomb Community College. There was a professor there who was Scotland Yard. I'm terrible at the man's name. I've only met him once, I think. But Ralph had these folks from England in and out. I mean, these were very, very accomplished people. So he really had a very strong connection. He may have had a lot to do with the school's international connections. Of course, MSU was always very promotive of international programs and bringing in foreign students. But that's something that probably ought to be explored. My God, there are people all over the world who had him as professors. And then they would invite him to their countries.
So right.
the day when I, the night that I gave him the yarmulke, part of the joke was that he was going to Saudi Arabia the next day, and so he was joking about wearing it there. But it certainly says something about Ralph that a grad student that he had here would then, you know, really appreciate what they got from him, and he would be invited to lecture and at other places around the world. Again, you probably could have documentary sources. Again, Vic probably would be the main source of information worth talking to a couple of times. You know, because I don't know how long they were colleagues. I'm not sure when Strecker came as a faculty member. He was in policing for a while, and then
right, and they actually.
But it may go back to the 50s. Yeah, right.
I think it goes back to the
50s. Yeah, so that really is quite a quite a long time. I would certainly recommend talking to Larry Hoover, but again, he might have had him as a professor. So he could speak both from the student as well as the faculty perspective. When I was talking with Larry and with Gary Cordner, you know, I mentioned your mm-hmm. project. Gary, I think, was a student. Probably worth calling him. He might have some anecdotes. He's at Eastern Kentucky University.
Both just, is Hoover there too?
No. Hoover is at Larry Hoover is at Sam Houston.
Oh, he's at Sam. Okay.
Right. Look, I. Get online.
I will.
American Society for Criminology has a good membership list on its website. It's ASC 41. There are so many ASCs, I guess. Anyway, you just get on Google and you'll get into it in no time at all. Unfortunately, the ACJS membership directory is not online. They keep saying they're working on it, but you can sort of tack into people and use some kind of a snowball. But I think that to get a good rounded picture of Ralph, if you can at all, you'd want to get some recollections from people in foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I really don't know what those connections are. But I think Hudzik would be a good source. Of course, among old timers at MSU, I would think that... I'm doing this again. In Boston, a student of his did a paper. You heard before how I slip with names. The guy who does the polygraph stuff and the investigation. Frank Horvath.
Frank Horvath, right.
You definitely want to talk to Frank, because Frank, I think, was a student here. I would talk to all the old-timers.
Yeah, I will.
Factory, but I think you probably know more than, I think Vince Hoffman probably wouldn't, because Vince wasn't associated with the school earlier, and he came on some years after.
Right.
But I think Frank Horvath would have some good recollections. I mentioned some of the people who had been on the program earlier. Have you ever gotten a hold of Dave Epstein?
No.
I don't know where the hell he is now. Dave was a grad student when I was here. Very interesting kind of guy. He might have had more to do with Radelet and people in policing. Epstein was in the military and... He became police chief in Savannah, Georgia, and I don't know, you know, what happened to him after that. I'll tell you who would know. There's a very famous chief in the U.S. His name is Reuben Greenberg. Reuben is a African American Jew. His grandfather, I think, was Jewish, and he's kept the faith. And he's written. I mean, he's often written about in the national press. He's very innovative. He's a very innovative cop, and he got a lot of his techniques from Dave. And they were doing problem-solving policing before it was kind of famous. But Greenberg might be able to put you in touch with Epstein, and Dave might have some, because I think Dave was a student here before he came back as a master's student. I'm not sure. After all, I know he wouldn't have much to say about Ralph. I mean, you really want to go back into the 50s and 60s. And Strecker is going to be the one who can suggest other folks, mm-hmm. other folks to talk to. I don't know if there are any historians of criminalistics.
I haven't run into any, but maybe I will.
In terms of the history of science, I think that's one field that my guess hasn't been done very well.
I've seen.
If at all. I mean, I guess the field really started in the 20s and 30s with only a handful of people, Paul Kirk in California.
Right.
And so Ralph really was, the first or second generation.
Right, he had Matthews, who was his mentor.
And the field is kind of diverse. You know, I mean, because it's an applied field, chemistry and physics and now with DNA, they all have different intellectual or scientific bases.
Well, do you have any final thoughts about Ralph, or do you want to end with?
Well, certainly within his field, he made important contributions because it's not my field and because it's so different from General CJ, it's hard for me to speak about how important he was, but I gather he really was. I think he was just a wonderful man. He was very sharp, jovial is not the right word, but there was always a sense of humor right behind everything, and it was just a pleasure to be in a department with a man like him. I guess it's sort of like any friendship. There were 1,000 little moments that you don't recall anymore. What you're left with is sort of this general residue. Being here was a lot better because Ralph was around and folks like that. If I can think of any other specifics, I'll give you a call.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
That was a pleasure.